Let's open your Bibles this evening to John chapter 3. And let's read verses 14 through 18. And we're continuing in the theme of healing. And when you get there, say amen. We're going to invite you to read together. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I think tonight I'm just going to read Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, I think for this evening, I want to start, let's just look at, well, we don't need to look at that because everybody pretty much knows this particular scripture. Mark 9:23 says, all things, it says, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It said, things are possible. All things are possible. Didn't say they were guaranteed. It just said they're possible. To who? The ones that believe. And so, and I like the Good News Translation. It says, everything is possible for the person who has faith. So faith is the key here. And let's turn over, I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter, I'm sorry, Mark 11:22. Let's go over there first. Mark 11:22. I want to just go over these few scriptures before we start. Mark 11:22. Wonderful scripture. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and does what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. So it's not just believing in what you say, it's believing in the things that you say shall come to pass. It's very important. Because I could say, I believe God will heal me, but. So it's important to make sure that you believe in your heart that the things that you're saying shall come to pass. And he shall have whatsoever he saith. So whosoever shall say and believe in their heart, not doubt, but believe that the things that they say shall come to pass, they will have whatsoever they say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So let me ask a question. And I've heard this. Matter of fact, I sat in the car, and this wonderful, wonderful brother that came from this company, he's a pastor's kid. He said, I'm a pastor's kid. My wife, he said, is a pastor's kid. And he said, my father's still active, and so forth. And he said, I believe God can heal. I mean, he does. I mean, he's a believer, and he believes in the gifts of the Spirit. But when you hear that, he said, I believe God can heal, and I believe God is able. But you could believe God is willing, and you could believe that God is able, but not receive it. I'll say it again. You could believe God is willing. I believe God is willing. I believe He wants me to be healed. And I believe He's able. But it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that God is willing. Believe He's able. No, it didn't say that. It said, believe that you take it. And if you look up that word receive, it means to lay hold, to take as one's own possession. That's what it means. It says to take something as one's own possession. Well, you can't take something of one's own possession if it hasn't been given to you. If I said, here, take this $100 bill in my pocket, then it's yours to take. And you do what? You take it as your possession. Well, God, through Jesus, has Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and by His stripes we have been healed. So then if I've been healed, then I can take healing because it's already been provided. So I take it as my possession. I take it as mine. So I don't have to wait on God. It's already been provided. He says, take it. You know, we use the example on Sunday. If you were hungry and I said, come on over and eat, and I put a big plate of ribs and chicken and fried chicken and all of the kind of trimmings, whatever makes you salivate, and I said, go ahead and eat. And they say, oh man, I'm hungry. Would you feed me? Come on, feed me. And I said, well, eat is right there. Eat it. And you whining about, I want something to eat. And I say, well, dig in. And a lot of people go hungry because they don't take the food. And so that's what that word means. Receive means to take. Take it. And so it's a matter of believing that God has already provided it, and to take it. And that principle applies for anything that has already been provided and consummated in redemption. We don't whine and cry for salvation. What do? We reach out and believe and take it. And after we receive it, Do we go around saying, God, save me, heal, save me, please save me? We don't do that. We believe to receive it, and we have it. Well, the same thing applies for receiving healing. It's already been provided. You reach out. You take it by faith. You receive it, and you believe to receive. And what does it say? It says, and you shall. You shall have it. And so one that believes that they receive, so that's what we're sharing. What comes first, the having or the you believe that you receive? What comes first? Believe that you receive. I have to first believe that I receive it, and then I'll have it. I would venture to say that the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through the crowd to touch the garment of Jesus, the hem of His garment, she had to have heard, it's already provided. It's already provided. Come and take it. And that's what she did. She came and reached and pressed through the crowd. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" She took it. And I'm sure that at that moment, in her condition, she probably went, "Oh no." But not so. He said, I believe he just said to her, "Your faith has made you whole." So here, whosoever is all inclusive, and whatsoever, all things are possible to those that believe. Now let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. And it's good to keep, I'm glad you're here and you're feeding, because this seed needs to get firmly down here and watered, because when something crops up in your life or someone else's life, that which you see needs to be less than what you believe. Or say it another way, that which you believe needs to be greater than what you see and what you hear. And Hebrews 11:1, of course, this particular scripture in the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of what things hoped for, the evidence." What's the evidence? "The faith is the evidence of things not seen." Sometimes we read right over that. My faith is the reality, the evidence of something that I haven't seen yet. Or as one of the scriptures, I believe it's the Amplified, said it's the title deed. I mean, it's the thing. I've taken ownership of it, and it's real to me, and I'm convinced of it, even though I don't see it. And of course, we know that. I've taken the title deed to this house. I have this slip of paper that tells me I own it. Well, my faith is like that title deed. And I like the New Century Version. This says, "Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real." What is that something? Healing, my salvation, prosperity, something I'm believing for materially. Knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. See, it's the evidence of things not seen. See, it's the evidence of something not seen. So my faith is the evidence, my belief, my faith is the conviction, it's the evidence of something that I don't have tangibly in my hand yet. So that my healing is so real, I know it. It is real, even though I don't see it yet. That money, my bank account is full, even though I don't see it yet. I know it. I know it. Now, what makes you know it? Faith. And what causes faith? The seed, the Word of God. So that creates the conviction, the reality, and causes faith, which is a knowing that I have it, even though I don't see it yet. And when your faith grows, because we read in the scripture, it says we can have expanding faith, we can have little faith, we can have great faith. So when my faith grows to that place where it just keeps growing, I say, "I got it. I got it. And I know I have it." then those things that you see and hear, they just, it doesn't affect you. And that's why when we read the scripture the other day, in Romans chapter 15, I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, when we read that scripture last Wednesday, it said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." See, when we're in believing, when we're in faith, the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. You'll be at peace, not in turmoil, but you'll be full of joy and full of peace in believing, in faith. You won't be moved. And so it says, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we read the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope." See, we'll radiate hope. We'll radiate joy and peace by the power of the Holy Ghost through our believing, through our faith. And that comes by doing what we're doing here tonight. Feeding on the Word, hearing it, and when we see it, act on it. We act on it. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, He fills us with joy and peace in our believing. So, as I was sharing on Sunday, when you get to the place where you've done everything you know to do, don't ever let any man or woman in any profession be the final word in your life. Don't ever let them say, "It can't be done." Well, they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to fix it, but I know someone who does. I know someone who does, and he knows how to fix it, and my faith in him causes me so that I can overcome, and all things are possible through him because I believe. So we want to make sure that we don't let go or give up because of something someone said, some words that cause us to think, "Well, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe it's just too late. Maybe it's not possible." And so people let go. They give up. They get in fear. And now it's too big. It's too late. Nothing is ever too late. Ever. Because if that was the case, then all things wouldn't be possible. If you've got breath in your mouth to release words of faith, all things are possible. Nothing is ever too late. I don't care if the doctor says you got a day to live. Nothing is ever too late. Ever. He could say you got an hour to live. Nothing is ever too late. Ever. Never. And that needs to be so big inside so that when words come that may try to grip you, it's so big in here, you go, "Ha! Not me. Not me. It won't affect me. Won't touch me. It can't have me. Because I've been set free, so it can't have me. I'm redeemed. And the blood of Jesus protects me. So sickness and disease, disaster can't have me. It can't have me. I'm a child of God." And that needs to be strong in us because that's what we said. When we were reading in that other lesson, I was reading in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that word fear is timidity. Some things and those things you need not be timid about. You need to say, no. You can't have my stuff. You can't have my body. I'm redeemed. It's off limits. And that, as it says here in the New Living, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. And God's Word translation says, God didn't give us a cowardly spirit. We've got boldness, but not in our own strength. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost and through faith. He makes us bold. So we can rise up and not cower or shrink back at news that comes or situations that come. We won't give in, give up. Now, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Let's spend a few minutes here. Galatians chapter 3. Is your spirit stirred this evening?
Yes.
Amen. My spirit is stirred up. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater, 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 greater is he in me. Not the circumstances are greater. He's greater. Galatians 3:13, did you get there yet? Amen. I'm going to read from the King James Version. What does it say? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That what? We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, just give me the direction, Lord, here so that this helps, because the Holy Ghost brought this to my attention. Let's turn over just for to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's turn there, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And for the sake of time, I'm going to just read from verse 4 down. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And of course, I'm not going to take the time. That particular word, griefs, represents the word sickness, disease, grief, sick. It means coli. You can go back and download that message or ask for it. It's part of these series of lessons. But what I wanted to focus on here was, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Didn't it say that? And afflicted. Who was he smitten of? God. Jesus was smitten of God. Now in verse 10 it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. So who bruised him? The Lord did. The Lord bruised him. Okay? And, of course, some of the other translations, this is the Young's literal translation in verse 4. It says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. So he was afflicted of God. For us, he took our sicknesses and diseases. Now, Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let's go over to the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very familiar scripture verse. Let's look at verse 17, 18 through 21. Let's look at 17. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who made him to be sin? God did. Who knew no sin? He had sickness and disease. He says he carried our sicknesses and pains. Who afflicted him? God did. So let me ask this question. So now that we've established that God afflicted Jesus with our sins, with our sicknesses, and it's already been paid for. And so when someone says, well, maybe God has a purpose in this. Maybe. Maybe he's allowing this sickness in my life. And someone may come to that for a variety of reasons. Could be a variety of reasons why. Turn to Matthew 18:18. I just want to show you something. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Someone may say, God might be or may be allowing this sickness in my life. Matthew 18 and 18. Hope you get somebody's going to get something out of this tonight. And I've actually gotten to the place where I said, okay, if no one got anything out of this tonight, somebody watching by video or listening by CD will. But I know you are getting something. Matthew 18:18. Let's read that together. What does it say? Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me read that in the Good News Translation. And so I tell all of you, what you prohibit on earth shall be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted. Here's the Amplified. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Now this is the contemporary English version. I promise you that God in heaven, now listen to this, this is the contemporary English version. I promise you that God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. You get it? Yes. You getting that? But he will not allow anything you don't allow. So, since sickness has already been provided, healing has already been provided. And someone does not take what's already been provided, but then says, after a period of time, says, well, you know, maybe God is allowing this. You know what your answer is? Yes, He is. Because you're allowing it. So that is a true statement that they're making. Maybe God is allowing this. And you can bring them right over here to Matthew 18:18, and you could read it to them from the Contemporary English Version that says, I promise you that God in heaven will allow whatever you allow. If you are allowing sickness, He will allow it. And sickness has already been defeated, and healing has already been provided. If you don't take it and you allow it to stay, He allows it to stay. You got that? And I hope that gets down in you, because it ought to get you to say, no, no more. I'm not allowing it in me anymore. That which I don't allow, God will work with me and cause it not to be in me. And you ought not be timid about that. And say, no, no, no more, no more, no more. All things are possible to me who believes. And I believe in God's promises, and I forbid it. And I'm not saying, God, would you take this away? No, I forbid it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not doing that in my own strength. I'm doing it in the name that's above every name. And sickness has to bow because it's already been defeated. He, the author of sickness, has been defeated. And there's just turn over to Romans chapter 6. I tell you, the light bulb went on for somebody with that. The light of God's Word went on for that. If we allow it, He allows it. So when someone says, maybe God is allowing this, yes, He is. You're absolutely right. He is allowing it in your life. Because you believe that, and you are not forbidding it. You're not standing against it. You're not commanding it to go. And if you are, then good. Then rejoice. And do what? Believe that the healing power of God is in me, working in me, driving it out. And working. It's working. Because what? I received it. That's like saying, I received this billfold of money, but I don't have it. And you act as if faith says, I got it. I have this money, even though it's not here. It's real. I have it. Got it in my pocket. And what is that that says, what's the evidence? My faith. So my faith is the evidence of that which I don't see in the natural. Maybe it's prosperity. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's a death sentence of sickness and disease. But it doesn't matter, because when faith is activated, when faith is real, it is the reality of that which I can't see. I have it. Because by faith, I took it. I reached out and took it. And that which I took it as my possession, What does that mean? I just took healing. I have it. I'm not now asking God, God, please do something. No, I just received it, and the power of God is at work in me. It's working now. I don't feel anything, but it's working. It's working. And it's driving out sickness and disease in my body and causing it to change. Yeah, but you don't look any different. My faith is causing this sickness and disease. The power of God has been released in my body and it's working. It's working. I don't have to prove that to you. I believe. So Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, 6:14, it says, for sin, well actually, let's do this. Let's back up to verse 7. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, starting in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And you might also say, he that is dead is freed from sickness and disease. What does that mean? It doesn't have the power or dominion over you anymore. You're redeemed. Now, if ye be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, then verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Why? You're free. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but what? Under grace. You're under grace. So you could also say, sickness shall not have dominion over me. Because I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Let me read this in a couple of other translations. In the New Living Translation says, sin is no longer your master. I like that. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So I'm no longer under the dominion of sin and sickness. I've been freed from its dominion. But I need to take what's been provided. I need to receive it. In the Amplified Bible, it says, for sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. Now let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We've been freed from the dominion of sin. Galatians chapter 5. What is verse 1? Let's look at verse 1. It says, what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has what? Made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Free from sin, free from sickness. We're to stand in that liberty. Now let me read this in a few other translations. The Good News Translation, it says, freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Listen to this. Stand then as free people. And do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Do not let yourself become a slave to sickness. And I tell you, I'm not here to cast any bad words on medical people. They love, and I believe that the profession, the medical profession, is out to help people. I genuinely believe that. I believe God has instituted that to help us. But don't ever be in bondage to what man says is impossible. You are a free people. And the Bible says, stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. And the God's Word translation says, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Oh boy. I like that. God's Word translation. Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Not wonder whether God is allowing this in my life. He has made these things available so that we can do what? Enjoy them. Not wonder whether God is allowing this sickness in my life or lack. I have to ask the question then. What would be the purpose? If he smited Jesus for me, and he's allowing you to learn something from that, what would be the purpose? What would be the purpose of God smiting Jesus for this entire world and have you learn something? What would be the purpose of that? No. You're allowing it, which is exactly what the scripture says. He who allows it in this earth, God allows it in heaven. So he's bound by his word. So he has to allow it. But the scripture says we're to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith we've been set free. Listen to the Message translation. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. We're talking about the devil now. And people sometimes unknowingly can put a harness of bondage upon us through their words. Is that not so? You fall asleep tonight, I'll make you stand up. I'll come over and look you right in your beady little eyes. I'm serious, because this is serious. Because there are people that are slipping off into eternity because they think God is allowing something. And it is serious. And we ought not allow it anymore. We need to be meek and humble, but bring the truth. And we need to share that we serve a great God. We serve a God that loves us and loves this world and sent his son Jesus to suffer and die for you. And he doesn't want you to live as a slave to bondage. And it is serious. Very serious. I'm finished. You know, Pastor Clint used to say, and the Bible says, Selah. Think on those things, meditate on them, let them firmly get in your heart, and just things that, what's the best way to put this? Every person here, there's something, you know how they say, I could hit a little button, and it's like, you know, you hit that little hot button, everybody's got a little button, you know, a little hot button, it's like, no, I'm not taking that anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's got a button where you say, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that anymore. And you do what? You stand fast and you say, I'm standing. No, you're not coming past this. Well, we need to do that where sickness and disease is concerned, where our prosperity is concerned. We need to take a stand, a fast stand, and say, no, no more, no more. God has provided these benefits. We're to live in them and do what? Enjoy them. And enjoy the benefits of our freedom.
Amen.
He has made us free.
All right.
And we're to enjoy it.
Amen.
And some of us, acquaintances, family, they're not enjoying the benefits of salvation. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation to share the good news. Isn't that wonderful? That to me is wonderful. That's good news. That's exciting that we can share this great gospel and share what Jesus has done, what God has done through Christ. Amen. Amen. If somebody has a question or a comment, I trust that this was really stirring in my heart to just kind of come at this and just kind of share this. And I trust that it has helped, or you can take it and help someone. But if you've got something that really is just you're stuck on, so to speak, or you know, you have a comment, then that's fine. I'm not the Bible answer man, but I'll certainly attempt to answer your question if I can. And I believe, for the most part, the Bible answers and enlightens us and enlightens our confusion. So a lot of times, if we're not bringing the Word to answer it, sometimes it's just our opinion. And it should be the Word of God, and that will bring light. So praise God. Let's say this as we go ahead. You got something? Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
In light of thinking about what you were sharing, what the Bible was sharing about how it pleased God to bruise Christ.
The what?
How it pleased God to bruise
God.
Him.
Yes.
And when we were talking about how negative thoughts come and rent space in your head.
Yeah.
See, the problem with that is that they come and they rent space, but they're really getting it for free because you wind up paying for it.
That's true.
So we can't afford to let those thoughts come into our head. And the other thing that rose up big in me is that you can take what's been provided, but that's only the first step. After you take it, you have to use it or apply it.
Yeah, you have to apply it.
Said you will not experience the benefit of having it if you won't use it.
Right.
If you're hungry, and as Pastor Ed, you put that big plate of soul food down in front, you just take it and put it on the shelf and don't eat it, guess what? You'll have it, and you'll still be hungry.
Or you took the $100 or $1,000 from me and stuck it in your pocket and don't use it.
Right. So you'll,
say,
you'll
man,
have
I,
it.
I'm hurting. I'm broke. But
exactly.
You got the money in your pocket.
Exactly.
You got to use it.
So now we have the Word of God concerning healing.
Right.
And we put it on the shelf and we don't use it.
Right.
And we keep waiting to get healed.
Right. And that's what I was sharing on Sunday. That, and for those that were here, the question was, if we believe that we have received, then why are you waiting for God to do something? Why? My question was, why are we waiting for a manifestation? If I believe that I received it, and my faith is the evidence of something not seen, then why am I waiting for a manifestation? Because I can tell you why. We're waiting to see something. But faith is the evidence of something not seen. So that means I already have it, and my faith is the knowing of something is real even when I don't see it. So when I am looking for something, then you have to say, well, why am I looking for a manifestation? Why am I doing that? If I believe I've received, I've taken it, that means I got it. I have it already. I have it. See, and if you listen closely enough, I'm not saying all, but some will say, well, I have it, but I'm waiting for a manifestation. Isn't that true? That's usually the phrase. I believe I received it, but I'm waiting for a manifestation. So you're waiting for something you can see, but the scripture says to believe that you receive and you shall have it. So that means when I take it, I have it. It says I shall have it.
There's a very sobering thought that goes along with that, Pastor. And because if I'm waiting for a manifestation, the question is, why?
Well, that's my question.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm waiting for a manifestation, and then I'll believe I have it.
That's correct.
Which means I'm not in faith.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, it may mean.
It
makes, say it may mean you're not in faith.
Well, that's what makes it sobering.
Right. And what I shared on Sunday, and again, yes, all of the other lessons that God will reveal and unfold to you, it does not mean I believe I've received money in my bank account and now I'm going to write faith checks. And it doesn't mean that. It means you believe that you receive it, you have it, and God will reveal to you and show you and prompt you when to do things. And if any of you have been in this church long enough, you'll remember Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton years ago. What did they do? They believed that they received the money for their bills. They wrote out the checks for the bills. But what did they do? They didn't mail them. They acted as if they had it. They wrote the checks out and put them in their drawer, said, Father, we thank you for the money. We believe we have it. We believe it's coming and we'll have it. And when that money came, then they released it. So it's still trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. You still got to do that. You still got to look to him and he'll direct your paths. And we don't want to get in the ditch.